It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Welcome and good afternoon, everybody. This is Mike Murphy, and you're tuned in to the Real News Hour, and I'm your host. And I'm super glad you're here today. It's been a crazy news day, I have to tell you. It's hard to stay up to all this stuff, what's going on in the world. Seems like every day it gets a little crazier. But welcome. I'm glad you're here. We have a lot of news to report today, and we're being broadcast on Transformation Talk Radio. We have the lovely Olivia up in Seattle producing the show today. I'm down here in Palm Springs, where it's about 110 degrees. Super excited this week because, one, this is hump day for you, but this is my Friday, and tomorrow they start the PGA tournament in San Francisco. So I'm super excited to watch a little golf for the next 4 days, maybe go play a little golf and get some vitamin D, some sunshine, some fresh air. So we're trying something new. We have a phone-in number. I'd love it if people would phone in. The number is 800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819. If you do phone in, you'll get a recorded message, but someone will answer. Don't worry. My favorite subject to talk about is the creation frequency. It's a unique way of manifestation, law of attraction. I'd love to talk about that. I'd love to share it because it's super positive on how you can create a better life and a better world for you and your family. And so the world is a little dark right now. It's a little out of balance. There's a lot more evil than good right now. And that's why we do this show. We bring you the real news, hopefully. We try our best with a little commentary. But more importantly, what we can do about it and so find some solutions and work together and try to bring some unity. You know, the division in this country is just over the charts, and we're going to get into that a little bit today. I also appreciate all the emails. Everybody's sending me stories, news stories, and other ideas and thoughts. So if you want to email me, it's mike@mikemurphyunfiltered.com. I'd love to get your email, and I'd love to have you phone in and talk to us. So really appreciate all the positive feedback. If you like the show, please share it, like it, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll keep it going. So appreciate that. Let's start out today. I found this today on, I think it was a Facebook, and I just want to share it with you because it really resonated with me. And the headline is, "Beware of the Fake Light Workers." Light work isn't talking about love and flowers, doing yoga and going vegan. It's about going into the darkness of the world and most of all, yourself. So if you are on social media spouting this rhetoric all the time, but only have safe conversations, only care about being liked, and only surrounded by smiles, you have little to no light. Light comes when you do the work of transmuting that darkness within yourself first, understanding and coming to terms with it. No amount of hippie music, new age BS, memes, or Burning Man festivals is going to do that. You got to have some balls. Go into the darkness and deal with yourself first. Most of all, true light workers don't talk most exclusively about light and fluffy things. They talk about the ignored and forgotten things because by sharing their understanding of the heavy, the painful, the dark, they bring light to where there was little to none. And I'm going to keep referring to this book, Transformation of America. If you want to know how dark our leaders of this country are, I encourage you to get this book and read it. It'll shock you, and hopefully it will shock you to be one of those light workers that's really going in to the darkness and the evil and trying to rescue these children that are just lives are destroyed. They never have a chance, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. The good news is there is a lot of light being shined on it by people like me and others, many others, but you don't see mainstream media talking about it. You don't see Hollywood talking about it. You know, they can't shut up about their issues, but these are children that are being tortured, murdered, sexually traded, and it's really disgusting, and we got to stop it, because that collective energy is affecting all of us, whether you know it or not. And if by not doing anything about it, then you're to blame. I'm the blame. We got to find a way to stop this. Anyways, so let's move on to some good news. Bank of America came out today and said silver could hit $50 in the near term. Now, what's interesting is in the last meltdown, after the 08, 09 meltdown, I think silver went to $50. I think it was 2011. And as recently as March, when this COVID-19 thing hit, the spot price of silver was $12.51. Before we went on air today, it was $27.18. But that's just the spot price. The physical, just to buy a silver buffalo, is $31. You know, and 30, 40 days ago, it was like $20. So silver is really on the rise. And B of A also says, talking about gold, let me read this. A little over 2 months ago, Bank of America became gold's biggest cheerleader on Wall Street and has been spot on so far in predicting that the price of the yellow metal would hit $3,000 in about 18 months due to loose monetary and fiscal policies around the world, especially here in the United States where we print with both hands. And with the U.S. election scheduled for November and the EU's recovery fund in place from January 2021, the bank expects that demand will remain supportive next year, even though the pandemic continues to be an immense risk. So they're predicting that gold to go to 3,000, silver to go to 50. As the bank explains, similar to gold investors, have raised their exposure to the white metal over concerns about the current economic policy. Yet, with silver more exposed to industrial demand, these purchases did not matter during the lockdowns. With the gold-silver ratio peaking at 124 and still a ways away from the long-term average of 59x. So historically, gold and silver trade 59-1. What does that mean? It comes out of the ground. For every ounce of gold you mine 10 ounces of silver. I've seen it trade as low as 30. So 30 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold. They're saying historically it's 59. It was 120 something. So that's got to come into relationships. So that's why I think silver has the biggest upside. And I've been buying as many coins as I can afford to buy and buying a little gold, which is a lot more expensive, of course. But I really think it's a hedge against, we could go scuba diving right now out in the Pacific Ocean. And if we find a sunken Spanish ship, and it's full of gold, that gold is still money. If you find currency, the country's currencies from back then is worthless, just like I believe someday the U.S. dollar will become worthless. We're headed in that direction right now, I believe. But gold has always been money. Silver has always been money. And, when I was a kid, we had silver dimes, silver quarters. So it was real stuff and silver dollars. And so now we don't. And Nixon and Kissinger took us off the gold standard. So basically, our money, our dollars are backed by nothing, and they're debt. They print debt, and then there's never enough interest to pay off the debt or pay the interest and the debt because they never printed enough. So it's called fiat currency. It's a scam. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's getting ready to crash. All right, so let's get into the big story of the day, and that's that huge mess in Lebanon, in Beirut. What a shame for those people in that country. I'm going to ask Olivia to play a little, about a 4-minute video of the bombing. And this thing is called A Plain Truth 5. He's a YouTube guy. He's got a good channel. He does good YouTubes. And he's going to talk about a TR-3B, and that's some sort of heavy-duty flying machine, if you will, that he's saying that probably bombed this plant in Beirut. And it was at their port. It was right next to a huge grain storage facility. So now their food has been ruined. I've seen videos all over the country, like a priest giving mass and all the ceiling starts to collapse on him and he dives to the floor. This was a huge event. So, Olivia, would you play that video for us? Thank you.
Yeah. the death toll has risen overnight. In that massive explosion in Beirut, the death toll has climbed to more than 100 people. This morning, it's said to be the most powerful blast ever seen in a city that was nearly destroyed in a 15-year civil war. Officials believe thousands of tons of ammonium nitrate, a fertilizer chemical often used in bombs, was detonated by a burning warehouse full of fireworks. Charlie Daggett has new information on the explosion. Charlie, those images out of Beirut are just devastating.
So again, that's the story, a civil war, you know, they put that in there. No, Israel. Come on, folks. Israel's our next door neighbor at war with them. Ammonia nitrate building, fireworks, a fire started all that incredible explosion. Oh, really? And let's just set the tone for the images I'm about to show you. We're seeing this over Santa Barbara and the California fires. We're seeing it during the Australian fires. These are the TR-3Bs, flying triangles, and you're going to see images of them here over Beirut. And these things travel very fast. They create vortex energies. You can see them right there in the top there. I mean, these are what bring the deliveries, the payloads. And here we see evidence of it flying right before the explosions, the big explosions. Oh, coinky dinky, images are the same. How can that be possible? Look out Mountain, California, where they do the image controls. But that definitely was a blast. That's a major, look at that hole in the ground. Were they testing a new device? Was there some facility there they wanted blown up? Was there really bomb fertilizer in there? Ammonia nitrate's what they used in the World War I, and then after all the ammonia nitrate bomb-making material came back to the United States after World War I, they injected it with natural gas called the Haber-Bosch process and made super fertilizer, and with that super fertilizer, they were able to grow more food, and that accelerated the population growth. A little sidebar. Oh, by the way, the Rothschilds had a little bank in Beirut. Kind of interesting. Did that get blown up? And here we can see the sequential. You see the little spark down there of the fire, and then you see this. This is the accelerant. This is the one that causes the igniter. They get the fire going, and they ignite it, and kaboom! Look at the dome, folks. Look at the dome. I mean, massive explosion. Were they testing off one of their devices? Is this one of their doomsdays they want us to see? And it's not just going on in Beirut. Check this out.
<音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音><音
So definitely death machines being flown over, and all that, we're just being attacked in many different ways, but we need to bring this stuff to light so we understand and know what's going on. And again, these are high technology devices they've had for quite some time. And I'll leave you with this video I did a year and a half ago on the TR-3Bs that were spotted and what they're really about and how they deliver their payloads. On the drones in the sky, the demon drones.
So hey, folks, I cut this video. Another video from A Plain Truth and Questioning Everything to Find Truth.
Go ahead and cut it, Olivia. Yeah, so I cut the video short, but I encourage you to go look at it. He's got a good channel if you want to subscribe to it. He's on the money most of the time. So he gives you an interesting perspective of what happened there. I'm going to come back to Beirut in a second, but Olivia, if you would, let's play that that massive fire in the United Arab Emirates as well.
Thank you.
So I found one more interesting article on the, I found a bunch of them, but one I want to share with you guys. And this comes from a blog post from Ann Girfan, A-A-N-G-I-R-F-A-N. She talks about the Beirut explosion being a false flag. And we'll come back to that subject in a matter, but in a minute, but I want to read this to you. When there are two bomb attacks, just like there were on 9/11, there were actually three on 9/11, actually Pentagon and Pennsylvania as well. You know the terrorist attack has Israel's fingerprints all over it. Iran has also been the target of several suspicious fires and explosions over the past month. She goes on to say, the various photographs reveal a thermonuclear explosion that could only have been detonated via an expertly planned terrorist operation. While ammonium nitrate may have been the primary explosive, the signatures of the initial detonation and mushroom explosion reflect a clear-cut thermonuclear blast. And let me remind you, I think it was 1995 when Bill Clinton was president, there was some stuff in Oklahoma City in the Murrah building that they wanted to cover up and hide, and they blew up 4,000 pounds of this fertilizer, and there was allegedly only 2,800 pounds here in Beirut. And there's no way, the Beirut damage is 50 times worse than what happened in Oklahoma City. Over hundreds of people are dead right now, thousands injured. It's devastated this city, and this country was already hurting from all this COVID stuff. Both the white dust cloud and the fire red burst show below reveal that a complex weapon was utilized. The evolution of the explosion from beginning to end also demonstrates that the black operation was carried out by highly professional military trained bomb experts. State of the Nation was sent an email August 3rd, 2020 by a Russian investigator and Israel research historian, which stated the following. An Israeli citizen journalist recently explained that Israel is ready to start a war with two countries, Lebanon and Iran. The Israeli military is moving soldiers, tanks, etc. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is currently charged with three crimes, and he can be jailed soon if found guilty. He wants to start a new war, and instead of going to prison, he has hopes of becoming a Israeli hero, Messiah, who would exterminate Hezbollah and other enemies of Israel. Israel is suspected of being behind the explosion in Beirut today, or yesterday on August 4th. The cause of the explosions was not immediately determined. State media initially reported the explosion took place at a fireworks warehouse. Weathers reported it was an oil storage facility or a chemical storage facility. So it's just a bunch of cover-up. We may or may not ever get the truth. You know, many people have found the truth about 9/11, but the mainstream media has never covered it. The general public's probably not aware of it. We had the dancing Israelis in that case, and it was just a way for us to go into the Middle East and destroy countries, which we've done, which obviously has helped Israel. And so then there's one of the reasons, you know, we're going to talk about Trump. I'm becoming more and more of a Trump fan. But one thing I don't like about Trump is his closeness to Israel and how I think Israel uses the United States military to do their bidding. And I come to this conclusion, you know, I've studied the USS Liberty, which was an event happened in 1967. I really encourage you to look into that one. And, of course, the 9/11 event. There's just so much proof that that was an inside job with Israel, the United States, Britain, and it wasn't 19 Saudis with Arabs, based on all the research I've done and my humble opinion. So that's that. But this is a huge disaster, a huge mess. And I think it's also interesting that there's one in China, United Arab Emirates, Lebanon. Maybe they want to take our attention off of something like all this pedophilia, like all this Ghislaine Maxwell, all this Bill Clinton stuff, or all this COVID-19, or who knows, okay? But they're very good, and they want to create a war. You remember after 9/11, I forget who the general was, but he had a piece of paper. I think it was Clark. I want to say Clark. How we were going to attack all these countries. And this was right after 9/11, and someone went and visited him in the Pentagon. He said, yeah, we're going to attack Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria. And also on that list is Lebanon and Iran. So who knows what's going on really, but they also use these false flags as distractions. And perhaps maybe, you know, Hezbollah was making weapons there and Israel took them out. I don't know. The truth is we probably will never know the truth because it's a big club and you and me ain't in it. All right, let's move on. I just put this story out there. I found it interesting. The University of Connecticut becomes the first major college in the U.S. to cancel the 2020 football season. I mean, from everything I can see, I'll be shocked if they play college football. I'll probably be shocked if they play the NFL as well. We're going to get more into this sports story. But I have to be honest with you, I was a big sports fan. I mean, I took my kids, my grandkids, NBA games, baseball games, football games, spent a lot of money, watched them on TV, support. I'm done. I'm done with professional sports, and I'll tell you why in a second. But to finish this article up, UConn's 2020 football season will forever remain the year that could have been. The Connecticut flagship state university set a nationwide precedent on Wednesday when its athletic department announced that it would cancel its upcoming football season over fears tied to the coronavirus pandemic. Well, first of all, as we covered a lot yesterday, you know, it's a flu virus. So we're going to cover we're going to kill the entire football season over a flu virus for the first time in history. And the disappointing thing is how many kids are seniors there? How many of those kids have a chance to play in the NFL? I don't know their team that well, but I'm sure there's some athletes there that have a shot to go into the NFL. You know, it's a Division I school. Or just they're, you know, they're there on a scholarship and they love football, they love sports. Look at all the lives that are being upended by this pandemic. So, but I want to move on now. I found this article just so interesting. And this was written by an African-American journalist by the name of Jason Whitlock. And he, you know, the other day, I think it was yesterday, they came out with some video, the police, the George Floyd situation, the police were, their body cam video was released to the public. And so he wrote this article, and I want to share it with you. Leaked video exposes George Floyd's death as tragedy and race hoax used to divide us. Will anyone locked inside the NBA's groupthink bubble react to the leaked body cam footage of George Floyd's arrest and tragic death? So he's pointing at the NBA guys right now. The Daily Mail, a London-based newspaper, published the body cam videos of two of the four former Minneapolis police officers charged with crimes in Floyd's death. The videos show police verbally and physically struggling to get Floyd to comply. Floyd appears panicked, disorientated, desperate, and totally non-compliant. He complains that he can't breathe while standing on 2 feet. He claims his mother just died and that he can't sit in the back of the police car because he's claustrophobic. He repeatedly begs the officers not to shoot him. He worms the upper part of his body out of the police car and asks to lay on the ground. Early on during the encounter, long before the police restrain Floyd on his stomach, a female bystander shouts at Floyd to quit resisting, and a male bystander pleads with Floyd that he can't win. At the beginning of the video, when Floyd is behind the wheel of the car he was driving, an officer draws and points his gun when Floyd initially refuses to show both of his hands. When Floyd complies, the officer holsters his weapon, puts it away. The behavior of the police officers seem appropriate and restrained, giving Floyd's level of resistance and bizarre conduct. The footage reasonably explains how and why Floyd wound up on the ground with multiple officers restraining him. The video does not justify Officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes. Let me repeat that. The video does not justify Officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes, and I concur. But it does offer context why Chauvin would be reluctant to believe Floyd's "I can't breathe" cries. Nearly every word out of Floyd's mouth was a desperate lie. Here are the takeaways from the footage. Floyd's behavior escalated a routine arrest into a possible abuse of force. The George Floyd case is not a race crime. No rational person can watch that footage and conclude the police were motivated by Floyd's black race. it's going to be virtually impossible to convict former officers Thomas Lane, J. Alexander Kung, and Tao Tao of any crime. It will be equally difficult to convict Chauvin of murder. Professional athletes elected themselves the National Internal Affairs Department for American Police. The NBA's Orlando bubble is the headquarters for the NIAD, the National Internal Affairs Department. When anyone asked NIAD spokesman LeBron James, Steve Kerr, George Popovich, and Adam Silver for their thoughts on the leaked Floyd footage. Will one of the media information ministers locked inside the bubble be allowed to query James, Kerr, Pop, or Silver on this topic? The NBA, the NFL, and the Major League Baseball chose to drape themselves in Black Lives Matter symbols and view all negative encounters between black people and white people as examples of white supremacy. Life is far more complicated than the race baiting that gets retweeted and liked over Twitter. What happened to George Floyd is more complicated than the substance-less assertion that Derek Chauvin acted out of racial animus. Chauvin abused his power. His defense lawyers will argue he was baited into abusing his power by Floyd. It's the same excuse pro sports three stooges, Adam Silver, Roger Goodell, and Rob Manfred, those are the three commissioners of sports, basketball, football, and baseball, will make years from now when the mainstream media finally objectively evaluates this era of sports. Mo Silver, Larry Goodell, and Curly Manfred have been played and used by anarchists and communists who are using opportunists to promote an American race war. Their fear-driven leadership has turned America's great unifier, sports, into a racial divider. At some point, NFL and NBA ownership must realize they need leadership that is unafraid of their athlete employees. Kowtowing to LeBron's social media following is a deadly mistake. The actions of the above groups, along with the mainstream media, guaranteeing that the second wave of George Floyd riots are going to be more deadly and destructive than the first wave. The second wave will come when Thomas Lane, J. Alexander Kung, and Tao Tao, and Derek Chauvin are acquitted of all serious charges. When those riots happen, the three stooges, LeBron, James, Colin Kaepernick, and all the other entitled millionaires will be locked in their gated bubbles watching poor people's lives destroyed on CNN. No one will ever question them about the roles they played in stirring the racial outage. So I got a lot out of that article. I concur with most of it. But more importantly for me, I'm done with sports. I'm done with the NBA, especially, and the MLB and NFL. And I think it's unfortunate for the college kids, but that's just the way it is. And, you know, there's lots of victims. All right, so I couldn't resist. I tried to stay away from this this mask subject, but someone has sent me this. And so we'll put the video up on screen. We're not going to play it. It's 50 minutes long. I watched it a couple times, took some notes. So I'm just going to share with you. The mask symbolizes the constant barrage of fear that they want to keep us in over this flu virus. And while the economy is going to suffer beyond our wildest dreams, and our freedoms are already suffering, we've got to wake up, ladies and gentlemen. We got to take our power back, and we got to quit being afraid. The real virus here is fear. So anyways, the woman that does this video is Tammy Clark. She's from Michigan. She's a health and safety expert on compliance for OSHA. She doesn't work for OSHA, but she's a certified OSHA consultant and trainer. She says basically these masks make absolutely no sense. She's done hundreds of tests for OSHA, and they're always testing people if the air is safe. And she goes on to say, you know, when you're wearing a mask, you know, you're not getting rid of all the carbon dioxide, you're not getting enough oxygen, and you're really, really hurting yourself. She goes, most professionals wear a mask to stay employed, and that's true. You know, she goes, a lot of these people have no choice. They have to wear a mask to have their job. So who's behind it? All the big corporations, I assume. So, and they're really trying, and Michigan is worse, I think. They're mandating masks for everything. She gets into PPEs. She says, listen, the N95 mask, no one wears it properly. The virus is way too small. It's going to go right through. They're just not, the holes are too big in the mask and the virus is so small. The cloth masks are a joke. That's what I wear. She goes, it's terrible for kids. She goes, they're talking about opening up the schools where the teachers have to wear masks and the kids have to wear masks. And she says it's going to be an absolute disaster for these children. She goes, people have died working all day in a mask. And what she can't believe is OSHA has thrown all these regulations and rules about oxygen out the window. And she wants to know why. You know, what? Why is it? She goes, when you wear these masks all day, your blood becomes toxic. Your immune system becomes weaker. So if the powers would be, maybe that's one of the things they do. They keep us inside so we don't get vitamin D from the sun, which is a great way to help our immune system get stronger. We wear these masks so our immune system gets weaker, our blood gets more toxic, and we socially distance. We're social animals. We're social beings. We need one another. And so they, you know, all this stuff is not helping. Suicides are through the roof. Alcoholism is through the roof. Domestic violence through the abuse. Violence, period, is through the roof. And she goes, why is OSHA turning a blind eye to this? And she goes, they're being told to stand down by governors. It's all they care about is OSHA now. Is the, where's your COVID-19 plan? Where's your COVID-19 plan? She goes, all of her colleagues, all of her people that she works with, they're shaking their heads at what's going on. It's just out of control. Let's see what other notes I hear. She goes, there is no, you know, everybody says data and science for wearing the mask. She goes, there is no data. There is no science. It's all BS. It doesn't exist. And she really gets into these kids. And, you know, and she said, you know, Fauci initially said no mask. But then they got more info, okay? Well, what she says she thinks happened is we got COVID fatigue, okay? After a month of staying at home and everything being closed, we say, hey, screw this. So they come up with this mask mandate, you know, because that's what happened. At first, the WHO said no mask, CDC said no mask, Fauci said no mask, everybody no mask. And then, okay, when we got tired of this thing, we're going out, now we all have to wear a mask. What does it do? It creates more fear. It's very, very fear-based, and it's power-based. They take our power. She also says this virus has been around since last September, and the herd immunity is much greater than anybody realizes. And she goes, deaths are way down. Hospitalizations are way down. Most of the testing is flawed, and so that's why they're showing more cases, but it's not real. She goes, hospital visits only, she goes, of all the people that get sick with COVID-19 and do go to the hospital, 0.3% die, 0.3% die. And that's the ones that go to the hospital, not the ones that are tested and never go to the hospital. And she says she really gets into this respirators and how most people didn't need them. And they were really murdered in her opinion. So anyways, we're going to give you the link. Feel free to watch it. I did. And those are my notes. That's my takeaway. All right, so now we're going to get into a favorite topic of mine. So this is a guy, I found this article on Citizen Free Press, and this guy ambushes two Baltimore hospitals. It's pretty raw video. And what's interesting, he goes to the University of Maryland in Baltimore campus and Johns Hopkins. And Johns Hopkins is in bed with Bill Gates. And they did Event 201 in New York City in October. Where they role played. What would happen if a virus came out of China and spread across the world? Like they knew it was going to happen. So, Olivia, if you'd be so kind to play this video for us.
Nobody here. Yep, both me in.
Can I see your bags? I need to see your bags.
Where's all sick people? Where's all sick people? Where's all the COVID patients? Where are they?
University of Maryland, Baltimore,
Where's the sick people? Where are the sick people? Where are the sick people? Where's the sick people at? Huh? Where's the COVID cases we're being lied to? Medical pandemic, people losing everything. Yeah, sure, sure, sure. Don't come too close to me. Don't come too close to me.
Stop the door, please.
Don't come too close to me. Where's all the sick people? I want to know. I want to know where they're at. Security, at the ER, blocking me out. Blocking me out. Look at this. An emergency room, Baltimore, Maryland. Huh? Ground zero. Where are the sick people at? Where are the sick people? Where are the sick people? Where are they? Where are the sick people? We're losing our livelihoods. We're losing our freedom. We're losing our freedom. People are losing everything. Where are they? Where are the sick people? Where are the sick people? Where are they? Where are the sick people? Oh, yeah, go away. I'll go back in the other way. Don't worry about it.
So, you know, I mean, in my opinion, the guy's a little belligerent. He didn't have to be so belligerent. But the fact of the matter is he's upset. You know, people are losing everything, losing their everything. And the hospitals are empty. You know, I early on in this thing, probably late March, you know, I had to go to a hospital and actually was in a wheelchair. And I've been to this hospital 50 times. And there's a policeman there stopping you. I'm in a wheelchair, interrogating me. Why am I coming there? And I felt like something was wrong. And anyways, I finally am able to go in. I get admitted. There's no one there. I mean, no, I've been in that hospital 50 times. That waiting room usually has 150, 200 people, nobody. And so once I got into the back where the doctors are and the nurses in the ER, empty. And then a couple weeks after that, I had to go to another hospital for another reason. And same thing, they wouldn't let my wife in. They wouldn't let my wife into the emergency room. See, they're hiding all this stuff. And I've seen so many videos on this early on in New York City when, I forget which one, Elmhurst, I think, you know, it's supposed to be packed. Some guy goes down there with a camera, very few people there. There was a Dollar Vigilante, Jeff Berwick. BBC did a report how they can't burn the bodies fast enough that are dying in Mexico City. He goes down there with a camera and the crematorium is empty. The morgue is empty. They're just stacking the numbers. There's an agenda here, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't wake up to it, we're going to be in big, big trouble. We got to do something. Anyways, we're going to move on now to politics. And when I started this show, I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a Trump fan whatsoever. Definitely not a Biden fan, not a Democrat fan. I just don't trust any of them, Democrat, Republican. I think they've ruined this country. They've stolen from us. They're all liars, you know. And people that hate Trump, I know so many people that are friends of mine that are nice people that hate Trump. You know, okay, so Trump probably is a liar, okay? But all of them are, every single one of them. And everybody on TV, all those talking heads are liars. You know, if you want to find the truth, you got to do what I do every day and dig into the internet and find reliable sources and try to source them. You're not going to be right 100% of the time, but you're going to be a lot more on the money than you are by watching Fox, MSNBC, CNN, NBC, ABC. All those talking heads are liars. That's why Sean Hannity makes $30 million a year, because he's a damn good liar. He sells a damn good story. Rachel Maddow makes $7, $8, $9 million a year. Same thing. She's lying to that crowd. He's lying to that crowd. It's all mind control propaganda, ladies and gentlemen. And if we don't wake up and do something about it, it's going to be too late. Anyways, I watch Trump. Netflix has a show, Dirty Money, and he comes across really bad. Like I said, I'm not a big fan. But the way they're out to destroy him, I watched either MSNBC or CNN last night. All they ever attack him is on his personality or the stupid stuff he says, like he couldn't pronounce Yosemite. Okay. Well, I do this show every day. I run into words I get stuck with. Doesn't make me a bad person. Doesn't make me an evil person. You know, if you look at Trump, the whole Russia thing proved to be BS. We're going to get into that in a second. The Ukraine thing is BS. The impeachment thing was BS. What are they after him now for? This COVID, that way he handled this? I mean, my God, it's out of control. And Biden's, we'll get into that too. All right, so let's move on to this next story. This is a black pastor who prayed with Trump. He responds to Jimmy Kimmel's mocking. White liberals mock black conservatives because they know they can get away with it. Whites don't get canceled when their racial jokes are directed towards black Americans who refuse to cast ballots for big government leftists who believe we shouldn't have First and Second Amendment freedoms. If you haven't figured out right now the Democratic Party wants a communist America, then you're sleeping. They want us to keep our mouths shut and stay out of the public square with our love of God and country. But we won't shut up and we won't be bullied. Mark Little, board chairman of Star Parker Center for Urban Renewal and Education, was one of the pastors who prayed over President Donald Trump. Various media outlets have shown the clip and various leftists have mocked him and other black Americans in that room. Little responded to the most recent mocker, Jimmy Kimmel. Olivia, will you please play this video?
You truly are the best president since Abraham Lincoln.
Thank you. Man, you're the first black president.
I guess orange really is the new black.
Jimmy Kimmel, I'm Mark Little. I see you peeked into our little meeting with the president last week. It was an honor to be there. And I want to tell you why I think Donald Trump is really the best president since Abraham Lincoln. I know that sounds like an audacious statement, but as an African American, our unemployment rate is historically twice that of white Americans. Under this president, Mr. Kimmel, we are experiencing one of the most amazing economic surges of modern history. And I know you make a lot of money, and I know it probably doesn't affect you, and maybe you'll find some creative ways to pay less in taxes. But the average American, under this president, our lives are better. You can joke about that if you want to, but it's the truth. Americans, black Americans, Latinos and women, are at work at higher rates than ever before. Find a way to make a joke about that. Americans are better off, Mr. Kimmel, under this president. African Americans are receiving their loved ones from jail because of the First Step Act and prison reform. Kitchen tables around America are different today because some loved ones who had life sentences have a second chance under this president. Under this president, Mr. Kimmel, opportunity zones are revitalizing our communities. People are waking up and they're seeing change. Change that gives them dignity. Change that restores hope in America. Make a joke about that. The first Republican president responsible for freeing the slaves under the Emancipation Proclamation did a great work. And I dare you to find another president who has been so committed to the cause of African Americans in this country. Now, of course, you may cite Lyndon Baines Johnson or Kennedy because of the Civil Rights Acts, 1964, 1965. But if you do that, please do pull up the rolls and find out that it was only because of Republican votes that those bills passed. Lyndon Baines Johnson was one of the biggest racists in the Senate. In fact, he said, if we get this legislation passed, we'll have these niggas voting for us for the next 200 years. Make a joke about that, Mr. Kimmel. Donald Trump is changing lives of all Americans, but he's changing the lives of black Americans in particular. And I'm proud to stand with him and for him, and I'm proud that I had the opportunity to pray over him. He needs protection. Part because of people like you who seem to think it's fodder to avoid the truth of how Americans and our lives are better. It's not a joke, but keep making all the money you can. And I hope that you pray that we do too, because we want the American dream just like you.
Wow. So that was pretty powerful. And I will tell you this. All, you know, I'm, like I said, I think Trump, I think he's a jerk as a businessman. You know, I watched that Netflix thing. I said, man, this guy, he doesn't pay his subs. You know, but businessmen are tough. So he's a tough guy. He's from New York. He's super tough. I'm sure he's not squeaky clean. I'm sure he goes into the gray area a lot. But with all that said, there is no evidence that this man is a racist. There are so many people that work from him, work for him of color, that come out and say just the opposite. And you know, to call some guy a racist when there's no evidence, it's just, you know. So he says stupid things about people from Mexico that come here because he generalizes too much. He's maybe not too smart. I don't know. I'm assuming he's smart, but he says some really dumb things, you know. But they all do. And we're going to get into that right now. So let's move on to the next story. So this guy, this is about Ed Buck. So he's a disgraced Democrat donor, Ed Buck, hit with more charges. I think he's already in jail. So a federal grand jury today returned a superseding indictment charging Edward that he allegedly enticed victims, including a man who died at his West Hollywood apartment. And he accused him of interstate to engage in prostitution. So what this guy would do is he'd get these black homeless guys, get them high on drugs, and have sex with them. And he's a big Democrat donor, buddies with all those Democrats from Hillary and all those guys. And he just gives you the creeps. I remember when he first, the story first came out, and you know, there was, for the first time it happened, Obama was president and he walked. No, you know, some guy died in his apartment and no big deal. Okay. Got covered up. And then it happened again. And now he's arrested and now he's getting charged again. And he's buddies with his district is he lives in Adam Schiff's district, who really gives me the creeps. And so I just listen, if you read his book, they're all guilty. Okay, Republicans, Democrats, they're pedophiles, they're sexual, they abuse children, for crying out loud. The proof is there. It's been going on, it's probably been going on since the beginning of time, I don't know. But our government is corrupt with these kind of people. And, you know, and Trump has said some weird stuff too. I can't defend him, what he said about his daughter and, you know, and Epstein being a great guy. But I don't think he's crossed the line like these other people have. I don't think you're going to see videos of him doing really, really disgusting things that these other people allegedly have done. And excuse me. And hopefully it will all come out soon, sooner than later. I just saw a picture. You know, they tried to say it was Trump. It was obviously Bill Clinton. I'll bring it on the air next week. Sitting on a bed naked while some young girl is massaging him. So it's all out there, ladies and gentlemen, but you got to find it and do the work. So, all right. So let's move on to this one. So this comes from Citizen Free Press, and this is Joe Biden's incoherent answer about mental decline, and it ends in disaster. Joe Biden bristled at a question about whether or not he has taken a cognitive test. Asking an interviewer Tuesday morning whether he would pass a drugs test and stumbling over his words several times in the course of 1 minute. During an event with the National Association of Black Journalists, CBS News' Errol Barnett asked if Biden has taken a test that would assess his mental fitness, and Biden snapped. Now, remember, in June, Trump tweeted something about this. Biden says he takes them all the time. So let's play this, Olivia, if you will.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness.
So if anybody thinks this guy can be the president for 4 years, take office in January, and run this country for 4 years, especially in its current condition, I just don't see how it could happen. Now, there's going to be other people, you know, perhaps Obama, perhaps Hillary, perhaps other people guiding him. But this man is not capable, ladies and gentlemen. And let's see if we have time for this. We're running out of time, but I really want to get into this. This is Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell was the latest attorney for Michael Flynn, and she is blowing this case out of the water. And so it goes on and on and on. I have a lot of notes, a lot of things to say, but I want to play this before we run out of time. So, Olivia, play this Sidney Powell interview.
The American voters need all the legitimate information and truth they can get on the presidential candidates. Biden has been engaging in pay-to-play for a long time, particularly to benefit Hunter and other members of his family. He and Obama and the whole Clinton crime cabal have been doing this, lining their own pockets in their globalist deals for years. This is the corruption that President Trump was sent to Washington to get rid of, and it's all just starting to come to light. I think we're going to find that it is far worse than we ever realized.
So there's a longer interview. I got a bunch of notes, but this whole thing is blowing up, and thank God for her. She's a smart woman. She's an attorney. She's written a book, great book. This is coming out. I don't think they're going to stop this now. And you're going to see that they spied on Trump. They spied on all these people. They've been spying on Congress. Brennan's been spying on Congress. For many, many years. We're going back to 2014, 2015. I think Rand Paul just retweeted in 2017. I think they're spying on me, and they get unmasked. And Sally Yates, she testified today. Listen, these people were out of control. They didn't play by the rules. They tried to bring this country down. They're still trying behind the scenes. And if we don't do something, we're in big trouble. So we only got a couple minutes left. I want to end on a positive note. Some lady was kind enough to come over and cut my hair today because I guess all the things are still closed. And so we got to talking about all this and that. And I said, listen, here's the bottom line. You know, the world is a mess. We live in a system of duality. You can't have black without white. You can't have hot without cold. And you can't have good without evil. So there's always been good and evil, and there's always going to be good and evil until, I believe, we get out of this physical body that we're in and we go back to becoming a soul, essence, our energy. I believe that we're timeless consciousness and we are eternal. And then if we play this game right and we don't lose our soul and we don't sell our soul, then we can rise. We can ascend to a higher dimension where it's not insane like this, where we're not in an animal body. We're more in a light body. And we communicate telepathically with one another, so there's no drama, there's no deceit, there's no lying. That's my personal philosophy, belief on what happens when we die, based on a ton of experience. But with all that said, the point is, listen, take care of yourself, okay? Go into your heart. The hardest journey we ever make is 18 inches from here to here. This is messed up. This is brainwashed. This has all this programming. This is pure. Trust your heart. Trust your gut. That's probably your real brain. Trust your feeling. You know, Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. I say BS on that. I feel, therefore I am. Feel your way through life. Feel your way. Use your mind, but don't let your mind use you. Most of us get a lousy thought, creates a lousy emotion, and we want to get rid of it, so we do a lousy action to get rid of it. I say live here, use this to figure stuff out, but live here and trust this and trust your gut. So that's it for today, folks. If you like the show, please keep watching, share it, like it, all that stuff, subscribe. We'll be back Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you have any show ideas or if you'd like to speak with me, it's Mike and Mike Murphy Unfiltered. And until next Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific, go out there, have a great week, a great weekend, and make it the best you can.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.